Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Prisco with Tony Steele, Waleed Ismail, Evan Hoovler. I almost said Evan Valverde. Wrong podcast. You've been listening. You know what this is. It's our auction stuff. We realize how late it is, so we're just going to get right into it. Episode 4, onesie strategies, quarterbacks and tight ends. And we're going to briefly talk about how does Superflex change it. And as a testament to how late it's getting for me, I almost said State Farm. How does State Farm change that? Because it says SF in the notes, and at work, that means State Farm. All right, so we're going to start with quarterback. There's kind of like the top end, middle tier, or bottom end tiers, like what you're looking at. What does quarterback budgeting look like for each tier? And Evan, you're the spreadsheet guy. So what does it look like for each position tier inside, or each tier inside the position group at quarterback?
So I have it open here. First tier is Josh Allen. Going for about 30. Then huge drop. Maybe the next guys are going for 15 to 20, possibly 25. Huge drop. Then 5 to 10 will get you who you want. And then everybody after $1. But I did a... Well, I'll get into that a little later.
Back to me?
I did a deep dive in an article I wrote called Stop Drafting Players, Keto Quarterbacks for Over $5. Last year... 12 of the players of the 15 quarterbacks who finished in the top 15 went for under $5 at auction that year. And the year before, 9 of the 15 quarterbacks who finished in the top 15 went for under $5 this year. So I'm saying, you know what? If you want a quarterback, go for him for up to $5. If you really want him, maybe go up to 8. But other than that, you're just paying for flash, not substance.
Yeah, so...
My counter to that is when I do these 10-man auction money leagues, sometimes Josh Allen seems to go for a lot cheaper than I think he should. And I know he's going to be one of the top 2 point scorers in football, so I'll take a top guy if I trust him.
Yeah, it's Josh Allen, Jalen Naylor at the top.
That's what I'm saying. Right? Championship. Yeah.
That's right. You JA and JN, and you're good to go.
J6. But
hold on. Let me see. Jalen Naylor, middle name. Let's see. Jalen Sampson Naylor, JSN, folks. No, it's Whoa. Not Sampson. That would be very funny if it was. It's Rashid, folks. JRN. So, Evan, what you're saying from your research is that paying up for the top quarterback, probably not the best idea. Unless, Waleed, what you're saying is, if it's a 10-team league, maybe it is a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Like, in the seven auction drafts I've done with all humans, 10 teams, Josh Allen's minimum value that he's gone for is 25, and his maximum is 35. But if he's going for less than that, then yeah, get him. I'm with Waleed.
And that's the thing, like... Because that does happen, and I understand why it does happen. Josh Allen is, like, he's a metronome. He's just going to always, like, he's just perfect, like, for fantasy. He's been QB 1 or 2 the last 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, yes. So you're locking that spot in, but at the same time, remember last episode we were talking about fantasy points per dollar, right, for the pressure points in the draft. I feel like the fantasy points per dollar on a Josh Allen for $30 versus a Lamar Jackson for $20 is you're buying security with Josh Allen, but I feel like you're giving up good dollar, you know, good value by taking him.
But the thing is, like, it'll depend, but I'll be honest. I'll probably grab at least one Josh Allen just to have him. And I'll get those middle rounds of Adunze, BTJ, like having a bunch of those types of guys. Like when those guys hit with the top score, like you can make it up elsewhere. It's all about budgeting and finding the pressure points and where you think the market is devalued.
But the way you're talking, though, sounds like you're talking from like a portfolio perspective. If we're talking about like someone's listening to this because their home league is switching over to auction and they have one draft this year, mm-hmm. does that change the way you perceive your willingness to go out and pay up for a Josh Allen?
My perception is basically just get your guy. There's going to be some quarterbacks, like, there are some quarterbacks I would like to pay up for, and if the price is in the right spot, I'll do it. Like if Josh Allen goes for under $25, I just like him enough as a player that I will do that. But, like, I don't know what I'm going to do in any given draft until I get in there. But I know that. Go ahead.
Can I ask the group, did Waleed actually answer my question or no? Because I don't think he did.
I don't think he did. I think he's
so fluid.
It
depends on the price. Every player depends on the price for me. I have a max and a min on everyone.
Okay. Josh Allen, $25. Yes or no?
When your league goes to, that's a great question, Tony. When your league goes to auction for the first time, it's like going to the candy store as a kid the first week you get your allowance. Like, I don't care if those sour balls or whatever I like. I don't care what's going for. I'm going to get them. So I would not and Josh Allen is the sourest of balls. So I would not expect to get Josh Allen for a reasonable price at all. I would just abandon Josh Allen if your league is going for the first time doing an auction.
Okay.
Can the title of this episode please be Josh Allen, the sourest of balls?
Oh, it's already being called the sourest of balls. I've already written it down on my note sheet.
So I want to say Josh Allen for 25, no. But Josh Allen for 22, yes.
Okay. And so to Evan's point, I want to expand on Evan's point really quick, which is if your folks are doing this for the first time, if your league is switching over, those high-end guys are very likely to get overbid. Okay. Because like Evan was saying, it's – you're like a kid in a candy store. You got your fresh $50 or whatever, and you don't give two shits what things cost.
Yeah.
You're just going to be splashing that cash around because you don't know how to budget because you're a stupid little kid.
Sure.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, they don't. Like, they go for a little bit cheaper than you think they should have, and you just got to be ready to pounce when it happens.
Personally, I think for a 101, I think the best advice that I can give somebody for one draft, it's your first draft, I'm personally saying stay away from Josh Allen because the value proposition of the players later is so much better.
Sure.
And what I will say is this year I've usually historically in drafts been a guy who likes to get one of the top quarterbacks. I don't mind paying a little bit extra because like Lamar Jackson fucks. Like I will take him on my team anytime. I love having guys like that. This year, I feel like quarterback is so deep, and there's so many guys who have QB1 overall in their potential. Like, if Justin Herbert was QB1 this year, it wouldn't surprise me. If Trevor Lawrence was, wouldn't surprise me. Drake May, wouldn't surprise me. Caleb Williams, wouldn't surprise me. Fucking Joe Burrow, like, I named him fourth, all right? Honestly, if Dak did, like, first overall, Patrick Mahomes. Someone just like
to bring this full circle, most of the guys Waleed just listed are going at auction in 10-man leagues or 10-person leagues for under $5.
Yeah,
most of them.
So what I'm saying to bring Evan's bringing it home, bringing it back home. We're getting real corporate jargon. I'm bringing Evan's home back to my home. You can spend $30, $25 on a Josh Allen, or 10 combined on a Caleb Williams and a Dak Prescott, if they're both going for less than $5. And
yeah, because there's two types, and real quick, I know we've spent too much time on this, but there's two people.
Evan, this at is the what first. The episode is. There's no too much time. This is what it is, baby.
There's two people at a fantasy football auction, especially if it's your first one. Guys who really want to get that good quarterback. Why do I keep using gender terms? I'm sorry. People who really want to get that good quarterback. And then people who are like, I just want to get somebody. Sorry. People who really want to get that great quarterback. And people are like, I just want to get something good. So once the top five great quarterbacks are off the board, everyone's like, there's so many other good guys on the board. I don't really want to get in a bidding war. And that's why here's the average prices. 31 for Allen. Lamar Jackson, 18. Joe Burrow, 11. Notice the drop-offs. Drake May, 11. Jaden Daniels, 10. Everyone else under $5 on average. Because people are like, oh, you get this guy, I'll get that guy. We pay under $5. It'll be all right.
So then do you recommend looking in that third tier? Is that where the sweet spot is?
The third tier starts with Jalen Hurts. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I wrote an article. All caps, stop drafting quarterbacks for over $5.
So I'm going to have a little different approach to this. And which quarterback I'm going to select is very much going to be tied to which tight end or wide receiver I get. So, like, if I have Zay Flowers, I'm a lot more willing to pay up to add Lamar Jackson just so I can get that. So if Zay Flowers gets a touchdown, then that means Lamar Jackson's scoring a touchdown, and I'm getting more points, and I'm getting, like, an elite player at that position. So I think that helps me overall. My quarterbacks really do depend on if, like, I want guys I can stack. If I have Ladd McConkey, I want Justin Herbert. If I have Olsen Loveland, I want Caleb Williams. If I have Parker Washington or Brian Thomas Jr., I want Trevor Lawrence. I feel like that helps my chances to win.
See, here's my only thought on that, which is, I'm going for a tier quarter. My quarterback strategy is, this is my tier. I'm going to get a guy in this tier. And what that keeps me away from is everybody in that tier going for $5, right? But say, for example, Waleed, there's somebody else that's like, I have Quentin Johnston. Yeah. I'm going to stack him with Justin Herbert. So now all of a sudden, you want Justin Herbert. He wants Justin Herbert. And we've reached Evans, it takes one other person theory, right?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, the rest of the tier is going for $4. Justin Herbert's going for $8. So I'm going for a group of quarterbacks, and I'm just chilling with whoever I get in there. If I like,
and this my dad supports that.
What's that?
Sorry, my dad supports that. I have that. And if you ever want this, go to our Discord. I'll give it to you. I have our 10-team auction data separated by minimum, maximum mode, and the min max on these players in this tier Jeff is talking about are greatly different. Like Justin Herbert, he just mentioned, goes from anywhere between $2, i.e. there's no bidding war, to $9, i.e. probably the situation Jeff just mentioned happened.
So what you have to do is go get Brock Purdy, because all of his wide receivers are dead, so there's nobody that's trying to stack him.
There is a $2 range between his min and his max, Brock Purdy.
$1 Kittle.
Yeah, okay.
Just completely and be good.
All right, we'll get to tight end in a second. But that kind of shows you what Evan was talking about, where or the difference between strategies, between what Evan is saying and what I'm saying, basically. It's like, go find a guy in a range you're happy with and move on with your life. Whereas Waleed is targeting players. And
not necessarily targeting players. My theory is more that tier three, if I have that guy, I'm willing to pay more. Like, those guys become more valuable to
you. Yeah, I'm also willing to pay.
At the end of the day, I want the roster that I want, and I want to maximize it. So you have to be able to, like, adapt to that. Like, stacking, like, the data shows that stacking helps you win. Like, so I'm going to stack.
Yeah, on Willie's note, I am willing to pay a buck or two more to pair up my quarterback with a rainbow, a wide receiver, a tight end. But if I realize I'm in a bidding war, then I'm out.
Yeah, I think the key part is staying out of bidding wars is really what it comes down to for this group of guys.
I say it depends on your budget.
Is staying out of bidding wars more important at the onesie positions than it is anywhere else?
Absolutely. The range shows it.
I will never get in a bidding war for a tight end. Not even once.
That's fair.
And I absolutely did it for Trey McBride last year. And I feel like that was the right decision.
Yeah, but I don't play in the Trey McBride pool.
Yeah.
I'm down here like, who wants Chigakonkwo?
See?
who's that don't draft Ronde Gadsden article for? It's for me.
What's really. The point of doing an auction if I can't have all the fun players?
Yeah, I have to have the really nasty guys down at the bottom that nobody wants. Like, I'm looking here. I'm like, $7 for Isaiah Likely. No, thank you. Give me Juwan Johnson and Chigakonkwo for $3.
Ugh,
makes sense.
Thank
I think it's way more fun to try to say, who do I think is going to be the top two, like the top two guy that breaks the park? I want to try to find that guy. And a lot of the times it's the guy at the top. Like this year, I will pay for Brock Bowers. I don't mind paying for like Joe Burrow if I have Ja'Marr Chase. If I have to pay a little bit extra to get a Burrow Chase stack, well, hell yeah. I could end up wrecking people.
What about See, a this Kirk is where Cousins personal... Brock Bowers stack, Waleed?
The what did you say? Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins, Brock Bowers.
This is where the having your own personal tiers comes into play. Having your own personal tiers really helps. Brock Bowers going for an average of 41. Trey McBride going for an average of 33. Colson Loveland, 22. Tyler Warren, 11. Everybody else for nothing. If Tyler Warren is always still on the board when Colson Loveland is nominated, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll go up. Because otherwise, I got to battle you for Tyler freaking Warren, who I don't want to battle you for. I'll go to 26. I'll go to 27 for Colson Loveland because, you know, he's the last in my tier, whereas I've seen a lot of people say Tyler Warren's the last in their tier.
That's, yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about last episode with the, you know, to try to take the second to last guy in your tier. And being cognizant of your tiers, Evan going, I want to get an elite tight end, which we've strayed away from quarterback. We'll come back to that in a second. But saying I want an elite tight end, this top four tight end, and I recognize that I can pay a few extra bucks now for a guy that's probably the higher end of the two, or I'm going to have to pay almost the same price getting into a bidding war for the second guy.
Or I have to settle for the Jeff-defined blob.
Yeah. I will say this, with the Alec Pierce injury news, Tyler Warren is becoming a lot more appealing.
Guys, I got three words for you. I got three wet words for you, okay? You ready for this? Nick.
Wet words.
Westbrook. Akine.
The GOAT.
At the expo, Herms was trying to talk me into Nick Westbrook Akine, and I was like, I don't know. And then the Alec Pierce news came out, and I was like, good God. It's Nick Westbrook Akine season.
Well, I mean, I unfortunately commented on a Reddit post about, like, who's the person going undrafted right now that is guaranteed points that nobody wants to talk about. And all the comments are like, have you heard of KC Concepcion? And all I could think is like, man, you don't even want to acknowledge the nasty stuff. Like, even though the question is asking you to acknowledge the nasty stuff, if we're talking about dudes that nobody wants that could contribute to a fantasy football team, it's dudes like Nick Westbrook, Akine, Calvin Ridley, and Jerry Jeudy. You just don't want to draft them.
I'm going to be at least 10% on Calvin Ridley. Because he's going so damn cheap, and like the point floor is so fucking high.
Yeah,
I'd be stupid not to.
Are we doing auction best ball large scale tournaments?
I'm sorry. I got distracted when you said that.
Wait, 10% Calvin Ridley. What are we talking? Is target share?
Best ball. I was talking about my roster rate. I'm sorry.
It's his catchable ball rate.
I mean,
got him. All right, let's okay. So now we've gone to tight ends and wide receivers. Let's go back to quarterbacks, which is what we were supposed to be talking about.
Yeah.
So Evan did a great job of lining up when the tiers drop off. Evan, when do we get to $1 for quarterbacks? Around what quarterbacks are in the $1 range?
For average, it's quarterback 15, Patrick Mahomes, followed by Matthew Stafford, and then Malik Willis, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Schoff, and Baker.
Tyler. So you can see there how, if you have like an idea of ADP in your head, I'm sure there's one player that sticks out there for $1, and that's Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who is going well, like, this is kind of the idea where the $1 flattens out, right? There's no difference between a Patrick Mahomes in price in AAV versus Matthew Stafford versus Jared Goff. Whereas in a real draft, you're talking rounds of difference. Like Matthew Stafford he's way later than those guys a lot of the time. Jared Goff is later than Patrick Mahomes, but these guys are all jammed together because when you get down to a dollar, and I think this is important, there is no $0 in an auction. So when you're getting down to a dollar, there is essentially no difference in, think of it like ADP. Are you going to take Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, or Matthew Stafford? That's essentially the choice you're making, because there's no difference in how that dollar is spent. It's spent the same way. So think of it in a draft as that's your click, right, for a snake pick there. So once you get down to the dollars, there's no difference. Like, play quarterback 15 through 35 is going to be $1. It's going to cost the same to get Patrick Mahomes as it's going to cost to get Deshaun Watson in your draft. So that's something I think you need to keep in mind when you get down to the, if you're going to be shopping in the dollar tier for quarterback or tight end. There's no difference in the expenditure.
Also, like, and that's also fine. Like, if you're comfortable with Patrick Mahomes for a dollar, like, that money can be spent elsewhere. And frankly, I really like Patrick Mahomes at his price this year, because I think the injury was a lie. I'm a conspiracy theorist.
He's fine.
And I'll, here's the other thing. Like, I'm obviously joking about that. Kind of. Not really. I am.
He just...
No.
He just didn't like, want to have to dance at the Taylor Swift wedding.
Exactly. He was like, oh, no, I can't.
Yeah. He's playing the long game. And that's why he's the GOAT. But really, the fact that Matt Nagy is gone makes Patrick Mahomes so much more appealing. Because he was actually a good fantasy quarterback when Bieniemy was his OC. Or he was a better one anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just think about this. Remember I was talking about you could get two guys for $5?
Yeah.
Go get Jared Goff and Patrick Mahomes for $2.
I love that. Malik Willis, Patrick Mahomes, like, try to get that rushing upside.
Yeah. You can go the all Lions stack, Jared Goff, Matthew Stafford.
I mean,
no
what's...
rushing at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of a player, really, what's the difference between a Jared Goff and a Malik Willis, right, at the end of the day?
Yeah, none. Zero. They're essentially the same guy.
Yep. Many are saying this.
You're hearing it more and more, folks. All right. How does Superflex change values? I don't know if you guys have done drafts this year, but I know you guys do have a wealth of Superflex drafts that you've done in the past. So I think that's an important thing to talk about. Does Superflex change for change valuations?
I literally have currently the only 2026 fantasy football Superflex auction draft strategy article on the entire internet.
And what is in said article?
If you look at the graph of the average prices for the quarterbacks, first of all, Superflex makes quarterbacks into running backs and wide receivers, where the top guys go in the early first round prices, you know, just to conflate it. And so if your league is not, as your league is just converting to Superflex and people aren't respecting that and aren't bidding 45, 50 more for those guys, get those guys, win your league. But I have a graph here. I have this article. It's called, you know, the 2026 Superflex Auction Strategy article. And I have a graph of the average prices. I actually just stole this from sleeper.com because nobody has any Superflex auction data. And if they do, they say they do, they're lying. And it's a sharp curve. There's a deep drop from number one to number two because Josh Allen's in his own tier. And then there's about a 30% slope. So imagine like a skate park ramp. Not like the vert ramp, but like a skate park ramp where eases up first and then goes to infinity. That's the average price for a quarterback. And then I have the projected values for these quarterbacks. And after Josh Allen, it's pretty much a straight line. I think it goes from, 320 points at the top to 290 points at the bottom. So if you're paying up for anyone except Josh Allen, you're just buying what someone else is going to get at the end for twice as much money.
So it sounds just like the best move to make is to live in that that pocket that we're all the quarterbacks we've mentioned today: Dak, Lawrence, Purdy, Goff, Stafford, Mahomes.
Check out the graphs, overlay them. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Okay, perfect. All right, who are Evan and
I just got Caleb Williams.
Of course.
No.
Remember when last episode Waleed was talking about you can get one guy for $187 that he knows from experience? That man is Caleb Williams.
It's Justin Fields.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
That is my son.
Evan Waleed, you guys have been doing a bunch of drafts, mock drafts on tap. Who are your favorite and least favorite quarterback values this year? Let's start putting some names to this abstract thought.
You got to throw it to one of us, or else Wally will just talk.
Nope. I learned my lesson that it doesn't matter who I throw it to, Waleed will answer.
Yeah, I'm already answering the question.
Yeah.
I like the range of Caleb, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herberts. Like, those three guys just feel like such fun values.
Okay. And then what are your least favorite values?
I mean, right now it is Josh Allen at his price because he's...
Boom.
And there he's not. Is. He's going like $10 more than the next best quarterback. And that's too big a disparity.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Your favorite and least favorite values, Evan.
My values, like you said, that quote unquote third tier, which starts with quarterback six, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, Caleb Williams, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, Jackson Dart, maybe not Bo Nix, Brock Purdy.
Bo Nix was solid last year.
Great, throw him in there. Bo Nix, Kyler Murray, well, maybe not that guy, but Patrick Mahomes, Matthew Stafford. Those are all guys you can get for under $5, or if you really like one, bid him up. Also, Joe Burrow is not averaging under 5, but his min is 4, and his max is 15, so if you get a steal on that, go get it.
Yeah.
Worst value, the people who are going for $31, Josh Allen. The people who are going for 18, my goat, Lamar Jackson in real life. Drake May, Drake May is pretty good for 11. But yeah, the guys at the top end are my don't draft.
All right, sounds good.
Wasn't he like QB2 last year?
Drake May?
Yeah.
Now he has AJ Brown. That's why I was like, hold on. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm looking at a giant spreadsheet of numbers and coming up with
you're good.
Answers on the fly. Like.
All right. Anything else we want to talk about with quarterback? Tony, do you have any questions for the boys?
Do you find you're more likely to take a second quarterback, even with a smaller bench in single quarterback, because you could get them two for a dollar each?
So the way I approach drafts is if I paid up for like a Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, I'm not getting a bench quarterback because I have Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Depending on the quality of my quarterback is where I'm going to consider getting a second like quarterback because I'm doing a hedge. The less confident I am in my first quarterback, the more likely I am to get a second.
Okay.
And for me, it's never. I'm telling you, the guys who aren't being bid on past the top 12, people who might be on your free agency pool. I don't know, some guy named Brock Purdy, some guy named Patrick Mahomes, well, probably not, but some guy, Matt Stafford, is 18th, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, Tyler Shug, Knight, and Baker Mayfield. Like, I looked at the top 15 performers every year for the last 2 years, and I'm like, half of these dudes are just guys in the FA. So I'm like, I don't know, I should probably just step up and get one if my quarterback's not performing.
One of the things I always talk about in the Waiver Wire article is that in week 4 of every season, there is a quarterback on the waiver wire of one quarterback league who's going to finish top 12. It happens every year, and you need to be aware of it in that first month of the season. Like, and then you need to grab him so that no one else has him, and maybe your quarterback gets hurt, or maybe he's doing better than your quarterback because the guy you grabbed sucks or got hurt.
Okay.
Fair enough. All right. Let's transition over to tight ends. Let's talk, Evan, the value tiers at tight end. How are we looking at the top end? When do things get to a dollar? Like, what are we looking at for values at tight end?
Little variation here. at the end, a little more at the top. Brock Bowers going for 41 on average in 10 teams leagues. Then Trey McBride, 33. Colson Loveland, GOAT, 22. Tyler Warren, 11. We'll see how the Alec Pierce news affects it. I also, in my spreadsheet, which I'm happy to share with people, I have the last five drafts, what they're going for. So it might increase after this new news. And then Kraft at 6. The Porter at 4, and then just all 3, 2, and $1 players. The $1 players really actually don't start till after people all have tight ends. It turns out there's a lot of FOMO at tight end. So people want to get their George Kittles and their Kyle Pitts seniors and their Travis Kelce's rather than end up with their Jake Ferguson's.
Who's the first $1 tight end?
Goddard.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like Dallas Goedert for a dollar is the quintessential punting tight end in an auction draft player. Because he's going to be, as long as he's playing, he's going to be a top eight guy. And you get him for a buck.
Actually, for me, I will probably have $5 budgeted for him. Like, as my last resort. Because I'll make sure I have him. I'll probably get him for less. But I want to plan. I don't want to do worse than that when I'm getting a tight end.
Okay.
Okay, so Dallas got so. It sounds like in auction the shape of the blob is very different, yes. Because you start again. We're talking about like there's no difference in price point between a $1 Dallas Goedert and a $1 Ronde Gadsden. So, what is the most that you think you would spend on a blob tight end? Which we'll say this. I mean, it's usually around tight end 8. Let's say this year it's probably. The top of the blob is by like rankings is probably
Kyle Pitts.
I'm thinking Kyle Pitts,
Harold Fannin.
Those guys are above the blob to me. Pitts, okay, Fannin's above the blob. So Sam Laporta,
Pitts and Fannin are at the same spot. Laporta's ahead of them.
Oh, that's right. So who's 9?
The blob's a little bit deeper. I think the blob is, it might be Kelce.
All right, so what's Kelce look like, Evan? What was the price point on Kelce?
Kelce's price point is $1 minimum, or $2 average. The minimum bid I've seen for him is $1 to win, $5 max. The mode is $1. Most people are bidding $1 for him.
So I have a question real quick. Is it a strategy that you would consider to just have your starting quarterback and starting tight end be $1 to $2 guys and just load up everywhere else?
Absolutely.
Or if you're like, all right, I'm only going to spend $1 on Patrick Mahomes, so I'm going to pay up for Colson Loveland. Like, or is it still viable to go Mahomes Goddard? And then just be like, you know what? I'm just going to go hog wild with my running backs and receivers.
Honestly, I think this is the best year for it. I really think the quarterback tier is very flat. I think the tight end tier is very flat. Like when you look at where it's going, I could get both of those guys for $5 and then spend the rest of my starting spots and invest in that and have a team that I think looks outstanding.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I do think that it's this year. It's very easy because of how many quality players are available so deep. Like that $1 tier at both positions has a lot of desirable players.
Sure.
Think about how big the blob is for the tight end right now. Like we went through Kraft, Laporta, Pitts. Like, I mean, there's like 8 guys that we're all like feeling pretty good about, and we can get them for like $3 or $4. Like
I have a philosophy that's very similar to what Wally's saying, but very different. If you'll listen for a second.
No.
I don't know if
sorry,
I'm
capable. I actually was looking for a silence because I need to go to the bathroom very badly. I know it's easier for Jeff to edit it if I have a pause. So I need to go to the bathroom very badly. I'm so sorry.
Guess what's going to happen? I'm going to leave it in and we're going to talk while you're peeing. Let's go.
All right, sounds good. I can take it. I can take it.
All right. So I think one of the things that we talked about in the previous episodes, right? You know, like, hey, you can get like 8 or 9 picks in guys that are 3rd through 6th round picks, right? And when you get into these onesie positions, right? this is something that I wanted to like kind of point out. It's there's you're skipping rounds like 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Like when you're getting these guys for a dollar, you're essentially getting them like multiple 15 round picks, right? So yeah. If you're looking at maximizing at the top of the roster for running backs, wide receivers, guys that you're going to pay up on, you're essentially skipping all the way down with no fear of somebody sniping you to round 15 or 14, 15 guys that you would be more than happy getting for a dollar, because there is, again, no difference between Dallas Goedert and Aronde Gadsden in a draft if they're both going for a dollar. There's no difference between Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson if they're both going for a dollar. So basically what you're doing is you're taking your picks and you're jamming your multiple positions up, right? You're trying to get as many guys that are going in the first third of the draft as you can. And then with these onesies, you can really push down two guys that are like 10th, 11th, 12th round picks equivalent.
And these are, and when considering in-game management, these are also the easiest positions to stream week to week, I feel.
And it's, you also think about players are going for a dollar because nobody wants them, which means that everybody's content with their players. So you can kind of move on from them quicker because the guys that went after your $1 guy are going to be other $1 guys that people are also willing to dump. And the waiver wire will be plentiful of tight ends and quarterbacks, especially in a 10-team league. Good God.
And I will say this because we're talking about that value, but historically, I am a guy who pays up for tight end. I feel like I'm pretty good at figuring out who's going to be a top two guy, and I'll pay for that. And I'm not always paying the top dollar. Like this year, Colston Loveland at $22. Like I'll have him everywhere except for the spots where I get Tucker Kraft or Brock Bowers, because those are my three guys that I am just pushing all my chips on. And I like betting on myself, and that's what auction's about.
Yeah. I mean,
makes sense. Sure.
Yeah. So it's really like, for me, I know that I'm playing in the mud, right? At tight end. I know that about myself. I know the players that I like. I don't like paying up. I don't like paying for Tyler Warren, 'cause I'm trying to find the next Tyler Warren. I'll try to get a value on like a Tucker Kraft, but what that does for me is I know, because I know those players, I like those players, I'm comfortable with those players, I'm more likely to go in on higher end talent up at the top at wide receiver and running back, because that dollar spends the same no matter what. And I'm like, yeah, you don't want Chigakonkwo. You don't want Juwan Johnson. I want Chigakonkwo. I want Juwan Johnson. And we're spending that dollar the same either way. So knowing what you know about yourself, knowing about the way that you evaluate players for snake, it doesn't change that your evaluation of players for auction. All it changes is the value tag that you're affixing to them.
Yeah.
So your evaluation doesn't change. Your valuation is what changes in auction versus snake.
Okay. And there's nothing I find more frustrating than having a bad tight end in my roster. So I will pay in my auction draft to not deal with having to figure out who the hell to start up.
Oh, I love it. I
can't stand it. I don't know why the tight end position. I can't do it. It makes me sad.
Hope springs eternal every week.
I'm not getting a blob tight end this year. I'm just not.
Which is wild, because in DFS, I actually really enjoy that aspect of it. So I don't know what it is why I can't do that for fantasy football. But
okay. All right. Let's round this out with your favorite tight end values and your least favorite tight end values so far this year in your drafts that you've done. Evan, we'll start with you.
Sometimes Brock Bowers goes for less than 35. I'll grab that. Sometimes Colson Loveland goes for under 25. I'll grab that. If I don't have Bowers, McBride, or Loveland on my team, I'd better have Warren. Otherwise, my team is stinky, and I don't like it. And I don't like the exact thing Wally just said, the headache of trying to figure out, is this guy better than the guys in the FA? No, I'm done. This is auction. I want to have a headache at tight end. He's right about quarterback. I don't care.
Okay. So you're going to pay up at tight end. You're going to pay down at quarterback. Same with you, Waleed.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So who are your least favorite values then?
Me? Anybody after Tyler Warren.
Okay. So you're not happy with anybody after Tyler Warren. We'll leave.
Not getting any of them. I'm going to get them in the top four in every league. That is the beauty of auction.
I'm going to bid the shit out of Tyler Warren against Evan in FA.
This year, honestly, anything up to Fannin, I'm okay with getting at the right price. I feel like they all have their merits. I don't think, like, I really think, and I know I'm going to be wrong. Half of these guys are going to suck. I don't know which ones, or they're going to get hurt. But, like, I do really like that top eight.
Yeah, I mean, that's the outside the blob. So you heard it here first. Lee's favorite player, Kyle Pitts. All right.
Honestly, I
don't do it to yourself. No.
I like him.
No. Kyle Pitts is never a sneaky value.
He had a good year last year. Kevin Stefanski loves to pepper the tight end with targets. Like, I feel like if Tua can stay unconcussed, if he could actually start playing.
Okay.
If Tua can stay, that's a big if. I know, I understand it, but I see the path there for Pitts.
Quick, show him a Gruber. All right, Tony. Mind any being... questions about the onesie positions for the boys before we head on out?
Yeah, do you ever feel nervous about having a $1 tight end target and then maybe waiting too long and getting stuck in a bidding war for a Dallas Goedert? Like, do you have multiple of those $1 tight ends or quarterbacks that you're willing to pivot to if someone else is also waiting on a tight end and has a similar target to you?
Oh yeah. Like
I don't want to end my draft with $1 Gunnar Helm.
No, I agree. But like, yeah, like I'll get Mark Andrews for $1. I don't care. I think that's a nice value play spot where he could have a pretty decent floor and has a higher ceiling than I think he's being priced at. So I have guys I'll wait on and I won't spend $1 on. Like, but also it kind of depends on my budget. If there's like bench guys that I want to spend that extra $1 on, I'll continue to punt it if I don't get those top eight guys. If they go for way more than I'm willing to pay, or more willing than I'm able to pay, might be the better way of saying that. I have tiers. Like, I don't know how to describe it, but my brain is, like, I see every possible scenario and how to pivot to it because I'm fairly locked in on how I value everything.
All right, Dr. Strange.
Yes. I prefer Dr. Weirdo.
Dr. Weirdo. All right.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts about the onesies, tight end and quarterback in 2023?
Yeah. To answer Tony's question, I just went through all 15 of my mocks this year for 10 and 12 teams, and only two did I end up with one of the top four tight ends, Bowers, McBride, Loveland, and Warren. And both times my team ended up, I didn't like it. And I'm realizing it's not just because I didn't like my tight end. It's also because I budgeted for this position. And so if I pivot, there's nobody. No, Tyler Warren's not getting nominated early. He's getting nominated mid. You know, Laporta and Fannin are getting nominated mid-late. If I still need a tight end by then, I have too much money left over. And so when I get them for five, I'm like, cool, I got them for five or one or whatever. Wait, what's that other $20 I was sitting on for? Oh, dang, I should have bid up for a tight end.
Or you should have nominated one of your guys earlier.
So I think what I'm hearing here is know what budgeting your tight end feels important. Know where you want to spend on it, because if you're knowing that you're going to take like a couple $1 guys, then you know that you have $198 to splash around on the rest of the draft, right? But honestly, if you're budgeting $15 for a guy that's you're like, all right, I'm going to get this guy. You get outbid, and then all of a sudden you're spending five on a guy. Well, that's 10 extra bucks that there's no players left to bid on.
Exactly. And the swing on the top three, the top four tight ends, the difference between what they're going for sometimes, what they're going for other times, the min and the max, the range, is a lot. It's double digits for all of them. So it's easy to be like, well, this guy's going for a lot more than I thought. I'll just wait. Every single time they get nominated, not Browers or McBride, but every single time the other ones get nominated so late, by then I'm like, well, what was I bookmarking this money for? Dang.
Yeah. So if you want one of those top guys, you're going to splash cash around is basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. What sure. Evan just said is very important. The later it takes for tight ends to get nominated, the cheaper they're going to be. And be aware of that in your spending in other places.
Okay.
Perfect.
Love it.
All right. That'll do it for the onesie episode. We're getting into the meat of it. So next week, we're going to be talking running back strategy. We're going to be talking wide receiver strategy. Week after that, building the bench, AAV values and specific targets. And then the week after that, we're going to do a live mock-tion, and we're going to put it all together. So for Tony, Evan, and Waleed, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Take care, guys.
Bye. Yes.